This episode is brought to you by Lululemon. 10 years ago, Lululemon created a yoga legging. A legging made of a revolutionary fabric that was as soft as it was stretchy. A legging that followed every curve, felt virtually weightless, and held in place during even the toughest poses. They called it Align, and we've been stretching ourselves in it ever since. Now discover the full Align collection, 10 years in the making, at lululemon.co.uk.
Hey, it's Dan Bova from Entrepreneur Media, and welcome to How Success Happens, the show where I talk to awesome people who do awesome things and ask the simple question, how on earth did you do that? Ready to get informed and inspired? I am too, so let's get to it. How Success Happens starts now. So I'm starting today's show off a little bit different than normal because it kind of came together in a way that was a little bit different than normal. I get to do so many very cool things here at Entrepreneur. I get to talk with super interesting people doing super interesting things. And then every once in a while, you get to talk to and hang out with a true legend. And that's what this person is. Barbara Corcoran. I'm pretty sure you've heard of her. She's on this show called Shark Tank. Yes, Shark Tank. It has been on the air for quite a few seasons and has earned quite a few Emmys in the meantime, bucket loads, in fact. Anyway, Barbara invited Entrepreneur to come check out her all-star entrepreneur retreat in New York City. So she brought together a group of her top Shark Tank portfolio companies for 2 days of learning and collaboration. She brought in experts on AI, experts in media training, and it was just so cool to see her in action with these up-and-coming business owners. She really got in the weeds and the nitty-gritty and just really dug in, and you could see her passion and her joy from helping people break through right there on the spot. It was very cool. And what was really cool is that after spending the day kind of watching from afar, I got to sit down with her and pick her brain a little bit for this little show, and we are going to get to that interview in just a second. But first, just a reminder of her backstory. At one point during the day, Barbara shared her journey, and it's just incredible. I mean, you may know a lot of this. I knew a lot of it, but I forgot some of it. But Barbara was not born rich by any means. She was born in Edgewater, New Jersey, the second of 10 children in what she described as a working class, very Irish Catholic family. And as a kid, she struggled with dyslexia, but at the time, nobody knew what that was. So instead of getting any kind of support, she instead had teachers who would tell her things like, you're dumb and you're never going to amount to anything. You don't know how to read. You have no attention span. Get out of my class. Great things like that. But despite that kind of environment, which would honestly crush a lot of people, it fueled her. It made her mad. She wanted to prove everyone wrong. So she picked up her stuff. She moved to New York City. She got a job as a receptionist at a real estate company. And kind of the rest is history. As a lot of people know, she borrowed $1,000 from her then boyfriend to co-found a small real estate company in New York City, which eventually grew and grew and grew into the Corcoran Group, which if anyone listening to this has ever looked for real estate in New York City, you know the Corcoran Group is synonymous with New York City real estate. In 2001, she sold her company for the tidy sum of $66 million. Not too bad from a kid from a working class family in Jersey. But of course, that was not nearly the end for her. She is a passionate investor. She's just a force of nature. There is no slowing this woman down. So I'm going to stop rambling on here, and we're going to get right to our interview. I hope you enjoy it, because man, sitting across from her, Barbara keeps you on your toes. She does not give boring answers. She does not give pat rehearsed answers. She's sharp. She is hilarious. She's just the best. I had such a great time hanging out with her. Hope you enjoy our conversation, and thanks again for listening. So Barbara Corcoran, you started your own real estate company. You're the host of an Emmy-winning TV show. You run these business boot camps. When you look at your resume, what's the one thing that jumps out at you like, wow, I did do that?
The best part for me is working with the entrepreneurs. All of these small businesses trying to make their dream come true. I'm right in there with them, thinking about it, dreaming about it, trying to give them hints as to how they could get ahead much faster. That for me gives me the greatest satisfaction. To feel like I've been part of the dream, not just once, but all these people's dreams. How lucky am I?
That's awesome. So when you reach a certain level of success, I mean, for people like me, maybe we think, why are you doing anything? Just go on vacation.
Vacations are boring. I do my fair share of vacations, believe me. But there's nothing more exciting than building a business. In my mind, it's nothing more people rich, nothing more like a miracle, like you can just accomplish so much in a business that you can't do anywhere else. Why would I ever go up? Really? Unless they take me out.
You have spoken so much about, you know, people in your past that maybe said hurtful things to you and how you use that stuff as fuel for your fire. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because a lot of times we just try to forget something mean somebody said to us, but you don't do that. You don't forget.
I don't, because I've learned over the years, and I learned it very young, that bad comments, critical comments, cutting comments take you down. It takes you down not only in your feelings, but the amount of confidence you have for the next turnaround. You just get weaker and weaker. So I don't allow those people in. I turn the comments into insults. How dare they insult me? And I prove them wrong. I think you can really take an insult and look at it two ways. It can hurt you, or it can fuel you. And you can do either, or it's just as easy to let it fuel you. Say, oh, I'll show you. And that's the kind of person I am. And I've learned to protect myself as a result of it. And I'm happier. Why not?
You want to look into the camera and send a message to that nun who had something not so nice to say to you?
Well, okay, because this was Sister Stella Marie in third grade who told me I would always be stupid because I couldn't learn to read or write. Well, guess what, Sister Stella Marie? You're dead and I'm sitting here.
You talked a lot about fun. Fun being this tool for recruiting, for building your business. Can you talk about fun for the solopreneur, the person who is like stuck by themselves? How do you have fun when you feel like maybe things aren't going your way?
Well, I was a solopreneur. Everybody is to begin with. You don't come out of the gate hiring a team of people. But I made sure I had fun. When I got stuck at my desk, couldn't think of a new idea, didn't want to meet the customer, was half-hearted about my enthusiasm to show the customer, I was smart enough to get the heck out of there. I never had a good idea at my desk. I would just lift myself up. 2 days hence, when I finished my business, I called it a fun day, just for myself. I'd get in the subway, go to Jones's Beach. It was for free. All I needed was the cost of a subway token. And I would spend the day there at Jones's Beach, listening to the rock and roll, going into the music on the beach in a deep way, going into the ocean also, getting a nice suntan, and I come back the next day, and I was a different person. There's something about taking a break for fun is so good for the spirit, and it was my spirit that made my money. It was, of course, my hard work, but what is hard work without your spirit behind it? It never goes well. So I learned to have fun from day one until I had a team that I could play with. And then we got more fun.
Yeah, that's great. So speaking of teams, you're on this TV show and with a team of investors. So let's say after a taping, you all go out to dinner. Mm-hmm. When the check comes, who's grabbing the check first?
Anyone but Mr. Wonderful. He's very cheap. He even invited me out for dinner once with his daughter, who is about 18. Asking me, couldn't you show her the way, what's important being a woman in business? I was so flattered. We went to an expensive restaurant. Again, I was flattered. We drank an expensive bottle of wine. Again, I was flattered. And then the check came and he didn't reach for it. And I said, Kevin, you're not actually expecting me to pick up the check. And he said, would you mind? And I took that check and happily paid because I wanted to tell this story. I've been telling it probably for 15 years.
That's fantastic. So big thing in the news, all-female flight on Blue Origin. Say you get an invite, or maybe you have been invited. How do you reply?
Are you out of your mind? I have too much to live for. Why would I risk anything on something like that? I worry about taking a regular flight, making sure I come back. Never mind that. Forget it. I can get my thrills elsewhere.
If you did were convinced, who would you want on board with you?
Probably my mom, which is impossible because she's deceased. But I would like to see her laughter and the thrill of doing something she never thought she'd do. I don't even think she ever heard of the word rocket. Name my ship.
One of the things I thought was so great that you spoke about earlier, you talked about this notion of filling in the blanks. And it struck me when you started talking about how you got into real estate, from where I was sitting, it didn't sound like it was something you were actively pursuing. It was something that kind of happened and you saw an opportunity and you jumped at it. Is that how it went for you? And is that a way for entrepreneurs to look at what my passion is? Maybe I don't know what my passion is yet.
Honestly, I think so many entrepreneurs are, or would be entrepreneurs, or wish be entrepreneurs, try to think of what they feel passionate about. I was never feeling passionate about anything until I got into it. Just about every job I had, of the 22 jobs I had from when I was a little kid, I felt passionate about because I got good at it. People liked me. I was enthusiastic. I got money for my personality. And I found a passion. I think you have to just dunk yourself into something knee deep over your head. And then you find a passion, or you don't, you move on.
And for so many entrepreneurs, they struggle with this notion that, oh, I need to have this deep passion for the thing before I start the business. So what would you say to that?
Passion is an active thing. You feel it when you're in the business. It's hard for you to look from the sideline and say, I think I'm passionate about that. Throw me into it. I'll let you know how I feel about it. When I got into real estate, I could have been in the plumbing supply business just as easily if the opportunity had presented itself. But what I loved about real estate is I love people. I loved opening those doors, chatting people up, being independent, running to the next apartment. Taxi, taxi. It was like an adventure. I was in my own movie. So that's what I fell in love with. That's what gave me my passion. I never really cared about real estate as a topic, but I cared about what I did as a living, which was producing a new business filled with people that loved me and I loved them back. That's really drove me all the time and made me feel more and more passionate. It wasn't about real estate, it was about people.
And over the years, has your definition of success changed? Does it mean something different to you now than it did when you were first starting out? Or has it always been the same?
I've been tempted to be distracted by different meanings, but no, it's always been the same. I had a mother who kept me focused on what was important. Be kind to people, being lovely, being yourself. She also thought you'd be rewarded in heaven, which I never bought into. But I did buy into the first portion of it. But today, I think really what I treasure most are the same values. Family, being close to my family, having people love me, truly love me for who I am. And that's what gives me that feeling like life is worth living. Anything short of that is really empty by comparison. Money complicates relationships, complicates what you have to do. You have to take care of the money, which is time consuming. If you're not interested, I'm not really interested in it. But what it does is complicates it, but it doesn't have to get you off course. The people that get off course on the value of money are lost souls. It just never winds up being a satisfying life.
Sometimes it's hard to ask for help. We know we need help, but we're embarrassed. We feel stupid. We feel ashamed. What's your best advice for someone just to break through all that and ask for help?
You should remember that asking someone for help doesn't make you feel like a hero. You'd rather be the hero somebody asking you. I would be. But if you're asking someone for advice or a helping hand, you're actually giving them a compliment. Everyone, maybe some people don't like to help. Everyone loves to extend a hand and help. So you ask someone for help. Could you introduce me to so-and-so? Would you mind doing this for me? They feel flattered. You don't have to be a somebody to ask for help, but people are flattered. The worst that happens, I say, no, I don't have the time. Big deal. You can get over that. No, you're complimenting people and asking for the help. You're making them superior to you. Think about how that feels for anybody. Good.
Give a little homework to people who are watching or listening to this. People who are aspiring to do the thing,
They just need to get that first step. What's something that they could do today, tomorrow, to take that first step?
People are afraid. And what are people really afraid of? Failing. That's at the bottom of everything. I think the most important thing is give yourself a deadline. Decide you're going to start. The biggest failure in entrepreneurship today is people procrastinating about beginning it. They want to get the business plan right. They want to get the funding right. They want to get the right people in their mind, the right pitch. It's not about that. It's throw yourself into it and you find all the answers under the heat of fire. Much more apt to get the right answers when you're out there in the street versus planning for what you think is going to happen. Get out there. It's the only way to build a business. Get out there.
And what's your favorite thing to say when and if something you're working on does fail?
Just remember that everybody that you're looking at and thinking, God, they're successful. It seems like everything turns to magic with them. For every one failure you could admire me for, I have 5 or 6 that I'm not talking about. Just remember there's so many failures behind the winners. But you know what I really think is what's great about losing and making a wrong call and having this burst that you didn't expect? It gives you practice. It gives you practice at trying. The most successful people I know, the most confident people I rub shoulders with, are not great at winning, but they're great at trying. Once you have the confidence, you know you'll always try no matter what. You go back and try again. You go back and try again. That trying becomes your habit. And you don't even think about it. You just are right in there trying again. And if you hit at something 6 or 7 times, you're going to get a success. It's just not a matter of numbers. Hitting the right ball.
All right. Important question. What's your favorite curse word?
The one I really use? No, because you'll air it, right? My mother would jump out of her grave. I promised her every year I wouldn't curse anymore.
Okay.
I could give you a mild curse word.
Sure.
Holy shit.
Okay.
But that's nothing compared to what I use.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
That was great.
My pleasure.
All right, that wraps up another episode of How Success Happens. Thanks so much for listening. If you can stand even more of me in your life, please subscribe to my Substack. This should be fun. I write about embarrassing things in my life that will make you feel much, much better about your life decisions. And hey, if you're feeling the show, drop us a review, would you? Those old ones are for the other guy, and it'd be cool to get some love for the shiny new host. That's me. And if you are digging this sweet, sweet theme song, please check out more music from Nika RPM over on Bandcamp. And hey, do you have a comment, a success tip, or a question for one of our guests? Send it in to our bright and shiny new email address, howsuccesshappens@entrepreneur.com. You send it in, I will read it on the air. And that's the Dan Bova promise. Catch you next time.